Open up that bottle of spray tan and throw on a bikini, because it's time to wrestle in the jello pit of sleaze and cinema, the trio of directors cashing in on the giant woman fetish. Do any of these films deserve an entire episode of the podcast dedicated to them? Find out on this week's special holiday episode. That answer is a resounding no. This is Kaiju vs. History, the Giantess Holiday Special.
Welcome back to Kaiju versus Hostery. This is your cheerleading, centerfolding, camgirling giantess, Patrick, here. Join me as a man that likely deserves to be smushed under a stiletto size 600, Miles. Hey, Miles.
Hi, Patrick.
Miles, what you know about big women?
I watch a lot of wrestling, so.
Oh man, I just got back from a wrestling show last night.
I know
night,
you did. I'm so jealous.
Women
I saw
wrestlers,
you on TV, bud.
Women wrestlers are actually so tiny in real life. There's so many of them that are like,
well, you
the shortest
well,
people
yeah,
I've ever
well,
met.
Well, Mina Shirakawa is tiny, but like Megan Bain is not.
Yes. But it is funny just how much larger just about all the wrestlers appear on TV. But also, what I guess that's goes into this week's episode. The camera can add, you know, 10 or 11,000 pounds, right? It makes you a lot larger with a little camera trickery. This week's episode, first of all, happy holidays, Miles. We're recording this before a set of holidays, and we'll have a little time off.
Yeah, I feel like this week's episode was like my Krampus gift.
So last year, I wanted to do a kind of sleazy holidays episode, and it was right around the time we would have been recording an episode on a Minoru Kawasaki film, Earth Defense Widow, which was on our list for the longest time. It's still weak. There's just no dubs or subs of that film, which is so disappointing. I own it on Blu-ray. My wife refers to it as the porno film that I own, because it is, you know, I mean, it's not really porno, but it is a sleazy looking cover of
right.
Of someone in kind of like an Ultraman flight suit. And it is about a woman who's kind of sexuality is tied to a kaiju in the film. But yeah, that gave me the idea to ruin the holidays for every one of our listeners by doing a similar special this year.
Yeah. We refer to it as all milk, no cookies.
lots of milk. Well, you know, it all kinds of bodies types in these mm-hmm. films, which is, you know, positive in its own right. Body positive that
absolutely.
Anyone can be a giantess, and I feel like some of these actresses are actually very tiny in real life. But I'd been thinking about this kind of format for an episode of podcast for a while, so this is kind of a testing ground, and we can probably do some more like this where there's so many movies over the years that we have not covered because they are very kaiju like kaiju light or kaiju adjacent, some of our terms for films that, you know, they're not really kaiju films, but they have kaiju in them, or they are in the same kind of vein. So yeah, we're talking about six films this week in short. So each one of them, just a few minutes, but all of them in the giantess category, which I would say is one of the more kaiju adjacent kaiju movies that we can get into. Of course, we have done some in this subgenre before. I mean, kind of, but not really. Honey, I Blew Up the Kid has a giant mom in it. But of course, we've seen Attack of the 50-Foot Woman multiple times, and we might get a third one.
Yeah.
Tim Burton was wanting to do a version of the film with Margot Robbie, maybe?
I think that's what I heard.
Yeah, I'll watch that. You know, we'll do that one too, probably. But, and this is a big but, in the 90s with the second or the first remake of Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, we started getting low budget sleazy kind of remakes or spoofs of the genre. And part of it is because there is a whole group of people out there that it is a fetish, giant women. And I think it is just called giantesses, you know, if you're looking to Google it, not that I have, but these kind of movies, just none of them deserve an entire episode. They're none of them would have a chance of getting higher than a 5 out of 10, you know, for our rating system. So it just feels weird to throw a ton of movies that, you know, aren't going to crack that kind of threshold and also just don't have kaiju in them. You know, that's like one of our main markers for doing this podcast. So I figure we just take a quick peek at these six films and give them a score of 1 out of 5. And maybe, you know, that can be an indication of whether they are worth
now
people's time checking out.
Are we talking about 1 out of 5 out of 10, or like, are we on a 5-star scale here?
It's out of 10, but I figured
okay,
this...
Okay, so we're under the correct assumption that nothing would get past a 5. All right, gotcha.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, if we do this format again, because I actually have a few concepts of things that we have kept out of the podcast that I would like to go back and talk about, like, you know, giant blob movies, like...
What, The Blob?
Like the eponymous Blob, yes. There have been several of those, and we've kept them off the list because it's not really a like single now entity.
It's also like it's more of a creature feature and not really. Yeah. That's and I mean, look, sometimes I love creature features. I have a 4K of the 88 Blob on my shelf over there. Like it's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
But a
big Blob special, because, you know, there's the 50s one, there's the 80s one, which is like actually really good.
And there's a sequel too, right? Return of the Blob or Son of the Blob?
There's a whole bunch. Yeah. So I don't think like any of them would be really worth it, because I don't think it would get a very high score. I think the 1980s Blob for enjoyment might, but I don't think any of them as a kaiju movie would get a very high.
No, not as a rating. Kaiju film. They're not kaiju. I think in one of them, the Blob does get kaiju sized.
Yeah.
Or at least building sized. Like I think it consumes a movie theater or something.
But it's the same. Yes, it's the same thing with whatever some of the other ones I was looking at. Oh, mega sized animals. You know, we don't do those on the podcast because they're not really kaiju. They're just big animals for the most part. But
that,
some of them,
you open the can of worms that like, well, we got to do dinosaurs.
Yeah. But yeah, if people like this format, we can do dinosaurs because there are some crazy kaiju-esque dinosaur films out there.
Oh, Carnosaur. That's a whole series. Yeah. But like, yeah, if you want to hear two jackholes give Jurassic Park 10 out of 10, because I will, sure, I'll do it.
But yeah, we talked about a lot of these movies in our kind of recaps for the decades, you know, and why we didn't cover them. So it would be a little bit of like, are these worth watching? Like, you know, for example, The Food of the Gods or Night of the Lepus are just like giant animal movies.
Yeah.
But they kind of in some ways use special effects that are similar. Anyway, I'm getting off topic. We're here to talk about big women this week, Miles. All the big women. So we are looking at six films, two each from a few different directors. And over the last like 30 years or so, most of them are a riff on Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, the 1953 movie. I probably should have this in my notes. So we've got a 50-foot cheerleader, a 50-foot cam girl, which feels like such a dated term right now. I know there are still cam girls, but gross. We have a 60-foot centerfold, notably 10 foot higher than most other giant women. And then we have three other movies on the list that use the term giantess. So they're kind of like putting it right out there on Front Street that this is what it is about. So are you ready to get into these films and rate them very quickly, 1 through 5?
Yeah, if I have to.
Well, first up is not the director, but I have this set under the Roger Corman series, and he helped produce not one, but two different knockoffs of Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, kind of reimaginings, I guess. The first one being very close to the remake, the 90s remake. In 1995, Fred Olen Ray directed Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfold or Centerfolds, I think it was, under both titles.
I think got a theatrical release, which is wild to me.
Yes, because this one, of the six films, I don't know if you scrubbed through, I think it has the most nudity.
I think you are correct.
This was distributed by New Line Cinema. Like, this was a actual Roger Corman produced film, and it's not great.
No, I mean, no, it's not.
It's the most like movie of them.
Yes,
it actually feels like a film.
It's both the most movie and the most porno of all of them. And it also, like, I think I saw this movie when I was like probably 12 or 13 on Showtime, because or Cinemax, or as people always call it, Skinemax, because after about 10 o'clock, one of the two channels would always start airing movies that were a little more risque, or the kind of direct-to-video genre movies that often featured a lot of nudity. And this director, actually, I have seen some of his other movies that had popped up, like Evil Tunes, as I was talking to Patrick before we started recording. I've seen that movie, which I think someone just gave it like a really nice Blu-ray release, like one of the boutique horror labels, I believe, did. But this one, I think, is also a little bit more aware of what it is than some of the other ones that we watch. I mean, they're all kind of aware that they're crap films, but like this, like Jim Wynorski is in this movie. Forrest J. Ackerman, the creator of Vampirella, is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, okay, like, or the co-creator of Vampirella, but there is a sense that, and that doesn't forgive anything about the movie in terms of how bad it is, but there is a sense that the people creatively involved kind of know what they're making.
Yes, yes. It's a sleazy film. It does have a ending with two women fighting each other. A lot of these do, but...
Yes, they almost all of them have, you know, two people fighting in the worst fashion possible.
Yeah, this is one that... Gosh, he produced, or, you know, helped get made hundreds, if not a thousand movies in the course of his career. Roger Corman died just a couple years ago, but he was often called the king of cult cinema. And it is no surprise that, you know, this kind of low budget sleazy movie would be of interest. But yeah, you talked about the director already. It is exactly what I think it portrays itself to be. I think advertising it as a centerfold, you're getting a certain clientele in there, but it's still oddly charming, I guess, as a product of the 90s. What are you giving Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfolds, Miles?
I don't know. This one's tough for me because it is the most movie, but like that doesn't really help it. Like it's poorly written. It's not well acted. It does have lady, and it does. I mean, it does kind of. It kind of feels like it has more in common with the Amazing Colossal Man because of the whole tent situation,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that was like there is some clear, like, this is what we're doing. So like, even though they're making, you know, they're making softcore, but at the same time, they're making softcore that does have some like thought into some of the stuff they're doing. So, I mean, it's probably one of the stronger titles that we watched or scrubbed through. So I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay. I'm giving it a 3 out of 10. I originally was at a 4.2, but going through and actually trying to watch this movie was a bit of a chore.
Oh, it's absolutely a chore. But so here's the fun thing. And this is actually probably why I gave it a little bit more of a bump up, is JJ North, who plays the main character Angel in this movie. When she quit acting after making a stream of these movies like Beauty School, Vampire Vixens from Venus, Psycho Sisters, and the like, she became a wrestler for Roman Gladiator Wrestling and participated in numerous matches from 98 until 2006.
All right, Miles, we're going with Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfolds, a 4 out of 10. You've bumped it up. We don't have any like rating system, but so I agree with you there. Like I said, I was originally at 4. The next movie is another one that was waiting in a pile for 17 years before Corbin greenlit another remake, kind of a loose reinterpretation of Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfolds. 2012's, we're traveling 17 years in the future, 2012's Attack of the 50-Foot Cheerleader. So instead of...
Kind of surprised it took us that long to get to a cheerleader, to be perfectly honest.
You know, if we're talking about some of the qualities that the original movie had, one of the best posters, movie posters of all time is Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. Attack of the 50-Foot Cheerleader has a great one, too. It's got a giant woman doing a split, and on her shoe is a football player, like, smushed under her shoe like a bug. It's good stuff.
Hold on, I got to find that one, because the one I have is the football going through her legs.
Oh, boy.
I don't think I've seen the one you're talking about.
On the Wikipedia entry for it.
Oh, well. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Oh, no, that the poster you're looking at is just terrible.
So neither are great. Let's say that looks more like probably a recent Blu-ray or something. It says theatrical release poster, but I don't believe it.
Instead of centerfolds, we've got co-ed cheerleaders. And I will say this cast. I mean, you were talking about it earlier. It's insane.
This cast is insane.
It's bananas for a... And this one has less nudity, but you've got...
It still has...
Kaiju adjacent alum, Treat Williams, is in the movie.
So is Sean Young.
Sean Young, who is not a giant woman, surprisingly. And Ted Raimi, Sam Raimi's brother, you mentioned. Mm-hmm. We're talking about him earlier. Just a, you know, host of actors who might have... owed favors to Roger Corman. This one was directed by Kevin O'Neill and is very much almost a shot for shot remake, but with probably a good deal more budget for this movie.
Yeah.
I think this one maybe is a little bit more watchable. It's hard because this one was like done on a digital film stock, I feel like. And part of it is really just kind of stuck in the past in that way. But this one, yeah, did get a theatrical release as well. It's insane. Premiered at Comic-Con in 2012. I'm giving this one a 3 out of 10, Miles. I don't know about you, but it that somehow is better about, but worse than the
yeah,
previous one.
I fully agree. That's about where I am. So this one, like, it does have a pretty coherent and almost like teen rom-com like story. Like, you have this kind of nerdy girl who's like a legacy in this fraternity, but she wants to try out for the cheerleading squad, and they put these like really dumb prosthetic pimples on her, and like the actual like makeup like feels like it was done for like Scary Movie or something. Like, it's really bad. Mm-hmm. And she and her kind of gothy punk roommate go to the tryouts, and it's not great for her. But she's also like part of a science team who's like working on, you know, this formula that I think it's supposed to just like moderately grow things. Like, it's supposed to be some sort of growth, maybe for food, I think.
They always have some kind of weird concoction in these films. Yeah, although some of them have aliens. We'll get to those. But.
And she has a little bit of a will they, won't they with her lab partner. They both work under Ted Raimi. And like, it is very much structured like a typical like college movie. Then they insert the kind of 50-foot aspect to it. Like, it is kind of not horribly dumb, but it's also not good.
Yeah.
Like, that's the awesome part. Like, it's actually very, very boring. Treat Williams looks awful in this movie.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I know he had a lot of, you know, personal demons that kind of kept his career from really taking off and staying off. Which is too bad. He was a good actor, but
one of those demons, Attack of a 50-Foot Cheerleader. Him agreeing to be in this movie.
It was substances, I think.
He gave them.
No. But yeah, that and like, and I don't think we mentioned this in the last one. Despite the fact that one of them went on to be a wrestler, none of these fights in any of the movies we're watching are good.
Like, no, they're just kind of slap fights. Awful. And
this one, they try to make a little interesting, but like, it's so digitally done that it looks ridiculous. And I'm right there with you. This is a 3 at best. It's not good. It kind of feels icky because you have a lot of, I mean, the last one felt icky too, because you have a lot of people who were leering, but this one is like, she's pretty young. They're supposed to be pretty young.
Yeah, college
and
age.
You're like, Oh yeah, they're out of college, but I think she's supposed to be like a young freshman. And
Miles, we've gone way in the weeds plot wise with this. You seem to enjoy this more than you're letting on.
No, I don't. But like the problem with this one is that it has a normal structure. It's the most watchable in that respect.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of one of the more gross ones. Yeah. Because there's a lot of really, like, the entire time you're just like, ugh.
Yeah, I guess Attack of the 60-foot centerfolds is more upfront with, like, what you're getting sleaze-wise. Like, they're all sleazy characters, and
they're adults. They don't say Playboy. What would they call it? Playmate magazine, yeah, or whatever.
Something
but
like that.
But they're all shooting for an erotic magazine. So you already kind of know that you're going to have these kind of certain characters, and you do, they're played straight, you know. This is just all over the place, but yeah, it's pretty freaky.
So 3 out of 10 for Attack of the 50-foot Cheerleader. Let's go on to our next director and the next two films, two more giantess films, this time by Jeff Leroy, who you might know as the director of such cinema classics as Werewolf in a Women's Prison, or Frankenstein in a Women's Prison, or Dracula in a Women's Prison. He's just going through the Rolodex of free to use characters, I guess.
When did we get Creature from the Black Lagoon in a Women's Prison?
I was about to say that was called Shape of Water.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a Women's Prison.
The first movie that we're going to look at is called Giantess Attack. It's a 2017 movie that you might find re-edited and renamed Giantess Attack Year Zero. You can find that on Tubi. But this original movie came out in 2017. It was a Full Moon Video production, a classic stamp for a great C movie, not even B. But
it hurts my heart because I grew up a massive Full Moon fan. I still have plenty of my Full Moon releases.
Oh yeah, let's say Upside Down.
Upside Down. And actually recently bought a Blu-ray copy of Arcade. They finally put out after I've been literally annoying Charles Band on Twitter for about 10 years. I'm not kidding. And so I know that they did these kind of movies that typically I think they were under a different title sometimes, at least in the 90s. I think it's all under Full Moon now. Mm-hmm. But I think they had, like, I think Moonbeam was their, like, kids entertainment. That's where you did, like, Prehysteria and stuff like that. But I think they had, some of them were under Full Moon, but I think they had a different one for the kind of sleazy science fiction ones, because they had plenty of those. But yeah, it's all under Full Moon now. This movie sucks. Like, it's just, like, both of the ones we're about to talk about are just awful.
They're bad in a lot of ways.
Is this the one that starts off with the Empress, or is that the other one?
Yeah, these movies have aliens in them, and indeed multiple giant women over the course of, this is actually a series. Both of his movies are connected, but I want to say the first one, well, there is a direct sequel.
Oh, I know.
But there's actually some sets in these films. There are some pretty bad giant buildings used for mostly modeling, but some destruction.
Really bad giant buildings. And in fact, like, offensively bad giant building. The aliens, on the show I do with Drew, the Morgan Nerd, we had been going through some 90s Nickelodeon stuff, and we just finished watching Space Cases, and the sets on Space Cases are far better than the sets on either of these films.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, what they try to do in the scaling of the actresses in the film just doesn't really work.
It doesn't work, but also the sci-fi aspect, like, first of all, the acting is, I mean, it's local theater bad. Like, not that your local theater is bad, there's good actors in your local theater, but you know what I'm saying. It's just like, oh, this is like neighborhood nonsense. Like, the acting is, I mean, I don't know if some of these people have ever acted before.
They have in, I would say, we can go through them a little bit, but Rachel Riley, who I believe is the blonde giantess in the movie, had some television roles before this. Tasha Takosa had, I think, also just some shorts, it looks like, before before this. Oh, she was in Clown Motel Massacre. And of course, all of the monster in a women's prison movies before this.
Of course.
Jeffrey Leary. She was in those as well. Yeah, but not what you're going for acting experience in these films. You're going to leer at women. The two giant leads in this movie, it is notable that they're friends kind of in the beginning, and then they end up fighting by the end of the film.
So stupid.
But for the most part, they are friends. I prefer this over the Corman produced films. So I'm back up at a 4 out of 5 miles. What about you?
2. Okay, well, for that, I hated the Giantist films so bad.
For that, we will average them together as just a 3, which
that's
is
fine. I'm okay with that.
The sequel came out just a few years later. Like I said, they re-edited it to Giantess Attack Year Zero. And then the sequel was Giantess Attack versus Mecha Fembot. Another one you can watch on Tubi right now. Is that right?
Yeah.
I think I watched most of this. Yeah, we finally got a sequel. And
finally,
an action-packed direct sequel to a Giantess movie. We got some of the actors coming back. And I'm not going to lie, I like this one. I'm giving out full marks here because we get not just some special effects, but we get CGI shelter cats in this movie. We get a Mystery Science Theater level moon base for the evil empress. And we get a robot giantess. Miles, name another movie that has a robot giantess in it. You can't, can you?
I mean, one. I probably can. Just give me a second.
Well, I thought the Mecha Fembot, pretty funny name. It is an escalation in the series. Not that it's not good, but it is, I think, good for a Giantess movie. It feels like a sequel, you know, like they kind of knew what they were
into. I would prefer listening to Steven Universe's song Giant Woman in the episode. Well.
That's a great song.
A giant woman. So, like, I don't know. Maybe I can think of a better giant woman situation.
It is still a very, very. It's a very, very bad movie. That being said, I could probably stick through it and watch this myself. So I'm giving it a 5 out of 5. What about you? Did you scrub through? Did you take a look? Yeah, I think this is one of the better ones.
Say, I do think it's better than the first one, but I mean, like, it's a 3 and not a 2. Like, this is the crazy talk. I will say this. I do think the lead actress does have a lot more charisma in this one. But what's her name? Beverly Wood or whatever? No, that's the cam girl.
Rachel Riley is the blonde giantess, if that's who you're talking about.
I think she's pretty good, but this movie is still pretty bad. Like I did not have fun with it at all. And the weird thing of the full moon stuff is they're softcore without the softcore.
Yeah.
Like don't really have any nudity. And full moon would sometimes
they're really just about leering at the woman in kind of like, you know, not even super real. It's like bikinis, you know?
Yeah. It's not really that salacious. It's just sleazy.
but there's some interesting special effects in this. Like I said, not great building destruction, but enough building destruction that I was like, they kind of cared about that part at least, you know. And for better or worse, continuing the plot of the first Giantess Attack. So if you're at 3 out of 10, this is a 4 out of 10 for us. And while we're not going to talk about it fully, Jeffrey Leroy also directed a short film called Valkyrie versus Jack, which did you watch that, Miles?
I scrubbed through it. Also sucked.
It's like 10 minutes on YouTube you can find, and it is using the Marvel character Valkyrie, Thor's cousin. I don't know what she was in the 60s. I think cousin. In a way that just would never be monetizable knowing Disney.
So white.
But has a giant kaiju in the short is someone just in like a monster suit, but
yeah,
then the werewolf
looks like
in a women's prison suit.
Don't get excited about this. It's bad.
Oh, no, it's kind of like a gill suit.
It is kind of a gill man suit, and the building model buildings are awful. Oh,
Yeah, not great. Awful, it's a awful. Short though. Yeah,
they I don't care.
Probably no
I've
money.
Seen plenty of well-made shorts. Don't give me that. It's a short. Get out of here. I've seen people get multi-million dollar movies based off of a short.
Last but not least is our third director, Jim Wynorski, and his two films. I know him most as the director of Chopping Mall, which is one of our friend Tyler's favorite movies.
I love Chopping Mall. I don't want to say it's one of my favorite, but I do deeply love it. And
I rewatched it.
So does my fiance. Like, I showed her Chopping Mall. I think I showed her the Joe Bob Briggs, like,
Drive-In.
Yeah, Last Drive-In one. She loved it.
Like, he doesn't have the rights to it anymore.
I think Wynorski also did the Slumber Party Massacre movies, or was it the Sorority House Massacre movies?
I forget. He did do Return of Swamp Thing, so I did watch one of his films when I was a kid, but he has also gone on to make porn parodies in recent years. Maybe explain his turn to giantess films.
Yeah.
He did The Hills Have Thighs and The Devil Wears Nada.
That's great. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorority House Massacre was the sequels Jim Wynorski did. I also really like Return of Swamp Thing.
Oh, in 2000, he did the Bear Winch project as well.
I have sadly seen that. He also did Munchie.
Yeah, he's done actually a lot of knockoff movies as well. Screwballs, which was a kind of knockoff of Porky's.
Yeah, both terrible movies.
And he's doing knockoffs of Attack of the 50-Foot Woman here. In 2022, he released two films that were kind of knockoffs. The first, Attack of the 50-Foot Cam Girl, which, like I said, in 2022 feels like a dated term.
Not really. Like, there, and I think it was in 2019, there was or 2018, there was a psychological horror film called Cam, about a cam girl.
Like, if you want to be hip and with the times, you'd be like, Attack of the 50-Foot, I guess, I don't know, you can't say OnlyFans model, but, you know, it's something along those lines.
Right.
Cam Girl just seems like is kind of stuck in the past.
It's wild, the writer and the director of, because it's two different people, of Cam Girl, follow that up with How to Blow Up a Pipeline.
My goodness.
Which, I don't know if you've seen that movie. It's a very, very, very good movie.
I've heard good things, yeah.
It's really, really heavy and really dark and nothing like Cam and nothing like these movies. But I highly recommend Cam. It's very, very good. But yeah, this movie is...
It's not great.
It's trash.
Yeah, it feels
I'm going to beat you the punch. Two.
Yeah, I'm at a two as well. It feels like a reboot or a remake of Attack of the 60-Foot Centerfold. And that's not good, you know.
Well, that,
you know?
And like, but here's the thing: is like,
it's got the two women, a brunette and a blonde. They fight, yada yada.
Nothing interesting happens. You have the most boring people, like playing like roles that are supposed to be charismatic and interesting, and yeah, it's just bad. And it's also like, oh, it's about this cam girl who's obsessed with her engagement, and by engagement, I don't mean her nuptials. Her online engagement, and like her assistant slash boyfriend starts trying to like find other people for her to like do not even cam work, because they're doing like basic model stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the weird thing. They call them cam girls, but they're very not. Little camming going on.
Yeah, that's why it feels like a remake of the Centerfold movie. It's like kind of
the whole thing is just it's just bad, and it's. I don't know. I just feel like it's an insult to people who have creative thoughts.
There is nudity in the film. I don't think the version on Tubi has nudity.
It had a little bit.
Okay. Maybe I just didn't see that. But yeah, 2 out of 10. That's an easy one. And I think probably just as easy for the next film, which came out in September. That one came out in April. Giantess Battle Attack. And while I will say this movie has an alien kind of throwback to the first Attack of the 50-Foot Woman with a female giantess kind of race.
Oh, I'm sorry. I switched this with another one. I mean, I would have given that one a bad review anyway, but this is the one that I was like, this is trash, trash.
I mean, they're both very bad.
No. This is that whole opening sequence with the Empress and mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the right movie now, right?
They all run together. I can't blame you, buddy.
The one with the Empress kind of lounging, and then everyone's like attending her, and she's doing this awful, awful, like over theatrical, like, yes, I am your Empress. And like, it's,
I think you've got
like
the right movie. Yes.
Yeah. It sounds like someone's making fun of someone trying to do this. Like, this movie sucks. One.
Well, it's hard to tell these apart because the Jeff Leroy film is called Giantess Attack, and this is Giantess Battle Attack. They're very similar titles, so because if you Google them,
images
will come up
from both. This is the one that has a connection to the prior film, right? Because this doesn't share an actress?
Well, I don't think plot-wise it does. It might share an actress, but I mean, they probably made it at the exact same time, you know? This one does have an interesting plot because I think it starts with the giantess just being giant. Like, I don't think it shows her transformation here. Maybe gives an explanation.
She works at a construction place.
She works at a quarry, and it's kind of interesting. They have a giant crane for scaling for her. I was like, okay, it's doing something different. But yeah, it does have her fighting this giant alien woman in it. But there's actually not a lot of women fighting, which is what I thought these movies are supposed to be for. So I don't know if I can give it a one, but it's down there. I gave it a two.
I also think by that time I was just so.
I was about to say I could be convinced, but I don't think any of them.
I think the alien aspect is truly terrible. I think the fights are awful. They have someone who, like, I felt like they were trying to be like, you know, get someone who kind of looked like Cassandra Peterson, not to be Elvira, but like just looked like kind of like Cassandra Peterson.
Right.
Because I was like, is that her? And it's not, which thankfully, because I have too much respect for Cassandra Peterson. Yeah, I can't, man. I was just done with this boobular, if you will.
Subgenre.
To quote some Mr. Science Theater 2000. I wish I'd memorized that song before we started. But yeah, I hated this movie. I can't equate this with like a Queen Kong though. So I probably can't give it a one. I will go back to a two, but it's on thin ice.
Yeah. So that is going to do it for these six films. None of them got a full 5 out of 5 from both of us. I don't think any of them are in the it's okay enough to watch.
I thought you gave one of them a 5.
Well, I did, but you didn't. So I don't think a podcast, any of them got a 4 or less is really not good. If you are forced to pick out one or two of these movies to suffer through, I would actually suggest Giantess Attack versus Mecha Fembot, just because it's available on Tubi. I think you have to track down Attack of the Giant 60-foot centerfolds, but both of them
it's on YouTube.
Are getting a 4 out of 10 from us. Oh, really?
You sent me the link.
Oh, yeah.
How I watched it.
Yeah, so I guess both of them are pretty easy to watch. And that is Fred Olen Ray's Attack of the 60-foot centerfolds and Jeff Leroy's Giantess Attack versus Mecha Fembot. But definitely steer clear of those Jim Wynorski films. And, you know, there's other movies out there, like kind of porn parodies with Giantess. We're not going into all of them, but these are the films that are, you know, just because Attack of the 50-Foot Woman is kind of grandfathered into the kaiju space, I feel like it was worth talking about these. But that is it for the 2025 holiday special. I didn't think when we first started this podcast there would be kaiju smut to look at, but there are actually other kaiju porn parodies that we are not going to be touching.
Also appears in a Warren Ellis, his first novel features a sequence in which people supercut a Godzilla film in a porno theater because they are attracted to Godzilla.
Ew. We are not going to watch Kinky Kong, a King Kong by porn parody. Not for this podcast, but there's certainly a wider realm of technically kaiju movies out there, but that's not what we're going to watch. Miles, did you enjoy this format of episodes, looking at a whole bunch of these adjacent movies, doing a batch?
I didn't mind doing the format. I think if we're going to, but because we spread a pretty small net, like we only had like six movies or whatever to kind of scrub through. And because there might be things that I would want to watch and yeah. so I want to have a heads up on. Like, I scrubbed through most of these because, I'm sorry.
Mostly the same, you know, each of these movies. You know, you're not getting a ton of differences between
them. It was so funny. There was one of them because, like, YouTube sometimes tracks the analytics of, like, what's the most watched parts. And if you skip to that part, it's just, like, either boobs or, like, the women wrestling. And then everything else is, like, a flat line. And I was like, that is so funny to me.
Yep. Oh, that makes sense. That's what these movies are made for. Yeah, well, like I said, we can do this format again. I like killing several birds with one stone, and I wanted to talk about a whole bunch of movies and they just didn't deserve an entire episode by themselves. So I figured we'd start with probably the worst of the worst to get it out of the way. Eat our veggies and maybe come back and maybe we'll do a dinosaur special, or technically the Transformers are giant kaiju aliens, you know. Maybe we could do Transformers, but
so I can like watch one and a half good movies.
Yeah, pretty much. We'll tell you which ones to steer clear from, which ones to watch. But yeah,
actually they're all pretty watchable. Well, no, I take it back. Several of them are pretty watchable, but like,
yeah, that is going to do it for this week's episode. Where can folks find us if they want to chat things kaiju?
If you want to chat things kaiju and not what we talked about this week, you can email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Blue Sky at Kaiju Versus History. Visit our website, kaijuversushistory.com. Please rate and review our show. Comment, share with your friends. Let us know what you think. Check out our Letterboxd account to see all our reviews and watch our list of films. And if you are so inclined, you want to actually talk to us about kaiju, you can join our sister podcast Discord. It's Cosmic Crit. Go to CosmicCrit.com, click on that Discord button. There is a Kaiju Versus History channel that you can talk to Patrick and I and all of our wonderful friends about kaiju in real time. We're mostly these days sharing toy stuff. It's the holidays anyway. But that's all that's really happening right now. We are getting some inklings of things going on about, you know, we just got the little teaser of Godzilla Minus Zero not too long ago. And there is apparently some rumblings in the Gamera camp for next year. So we'll see. But yeah, come talk to us. Patrick, what are we doing next week?
Thank you, Miles. Thank you, listeners. We're going to catch you next time when we head back to Netflix. Finally, another Netflix kaiju project and looking at a European take on a classic kaiju that is finally getting a kind of big creature feature on the small streaming screen. Will this mythic monster come out from under its bridge and wow us, or are we going to be turned to stone in the harsh light of day? Find out along with us as we ford the fjords and tune in next time for History Versus Troll.